You know, I'm a stickler for prove it. All right, anyway, let me do this for brother. So, you got that so far? Okay, so the problem lies in the ministry reading the prophet. Luther had a measure of the Holy Spirit, Wesley had a greater measure of Pentecost. So in their mind, it's like a glass of water. Luther had this much, Wesley had this much, Pentecost had that much. Right? So Luther smoked pipe, Luther did this, because he only had a little measure. Wesley, so that in their mind, they're thinking like that. But that's not what he's saying, because there's no Bible principle for this. Right? So when he was talking about Luther had a measure, Wesley had a greater measure, Pentecost had a greater measure, these people are thinking about, when he said Holy Spirit, they're thinking about gene. They're thinking about spirit, this much spirit, that much spirit, that much. It's not that, because Angus has the same gene of his father, just as he has the same gene of his father. The only difference is the physical temperament that has been, and Brother Branham said, that's the miracle. He said the new birth is not really the miracle. He said the miracle is how could God bring out a man like William Branham with the nature of Elijah. That was the miracle. He had to cross up all over to get that. So when the man and woman come together, sometimes the child takes more qualities of the mother than the father. And that's what happens. Sometimes the next child takes more qualities of the father and less of the mother. But they had the same blood. That's what happened to us. We are all physically empowered differently, made up differently. But the gene is the same. Now, how much gene did Angus have compared to Garth? How much is the same seed? Yeah. The same nature? The same blood? They can't be bigger than one another. So then, what is the prophet talking about? Well, if you notice something, the measure he was talking about was not the spirit of the gene or how much spirit was in that day. He was talking about the measure of the word. Since God and Angus are brothers, if the father taught God how to do carpentry, but he taught him how to do electrical, he will never know how to do electrical. So in Luther day, he only taught him justification by faith. So the measure of the knowledge and the measure of the word, that's all he could live. But Wesley, he gave him more measure of word. But the prophet is calling it spirit. Right? Now, you say that, well, he shouldn't use that word. No, it is our idea that every time we hear the word spirit or Holy Spirit, we have one thing in mind, that's God. Spirit is word. My word is spirit. Right? If you have spirit, you have word. If you have spirit and you don't have word, you don't have spirit. That's why the prophet kept on saying things like, how can a man say he is born again and have the Holy Spirit and deny the very word? You can't have one without the other. Right? Because if you have spirit, the word must come to you. If you are a son anywhere, God will find a way to get that word to you. Right? So, this is the confusion with people thinking about measure like a glass. No, the gene is the same. The measure is the word. Now, for Brother Louis' question, he asked, does a pastor have more in his gene? Well, let's start from the beginning. Does the prophet messenger have more in his gene than the apostles? Let's say maybe Paul had more than Timothy. Right? No. We just said they both have to have the same gene. Right? The gene only allows you to be a son. It is what makes you a son that you become part of God. So then what you're talking about is gift. And gift and gene is two different things. The proof of that is denomination have a lot of gift, but they have no gene. Right? They have no gene. So what happens is when you have a ministry, God call you with a gift, what makes you know, what make Paul no more, or Moses no more, or William Branham no more, was the kind of angel that was with him. That angel opens up his eyes where he begins to hear and see. And sometimes we don't have the angel talking to us like it talks to prophets. But the prophets say angels put thoughts in your mind. It's like demons put thoughts. And we call that inspiration. Right? So it is the kind of angel. I would say this way. Angels have rank. Even the Bible said they are wickeder angels. They have rank. So the rank of angels, you go all the way up to where angels are called archangels, because those angels actually only deal with the royal family, the kings. Like Jesus is a king, right? Moses was the king of Israel. David was the king of, you see? And so these the different rank of angels. So according to your gift, you have a rank of angel. I will never have any angel dealing with prophets, because there are angels that deal only to anoint prophetically. There's angel that anoints the pastor, because it gives them, they already have a makeup, but it gives them a shepherd's heart, an insight of his people. Right? A teacher now, he would see the word different. Right? He don't care about the feelings of the people. He care, this is the truth, you take it. Right? But a pastor is kind of like, okay, I know you don't see it, but, you know, just take a little while, pray about it, I'll explain it different. A teacher don't put up with that. That's the word, man. What's wrong with you? You know? And so that is what makes the different offices different from the lay member. The lay member gift is not anointed to actually go out and do what a pastor does or any other ministry, but they have an angel with them that helps them to believe. Sure. Ramam said the angels are standing up and down the aisle, black and white coat, you know, to help you to believe, to anoint you, because demons also help to cause unbelief, right? Like when you're casting out a demon from somebody, the people who have the same spirit, those demons cry out and strengthen this demon to put thoughts in a man's mind to unbelieve. Because once he unbelieves, William Branham can't cast it out. Because once he casts it, it'll come back. Because of the unbelief of the person. And that's what demons are, try to cause you to doubt what is being told to you. And say, I'm not worthy. But that's a doubt. He is saying, no, you're healed. God is here to deliver you. And you say, I'm not good enough. Who cares if you're good enough? God is here to deliver you. I don't care if I'm good enough or not. Right? I don't care how much wrong I do. He's here to deliver me. The wrong is taken by the blood. If he wants to fix me up later, that's fine. But I'm going to take what he says now. Right? And so that is why there are different measures of anointing. And that's why a prophet will always know more. Not a prophet. A regular prophet is lower than an apostle, right? Because he could only find dogs and cats and keys and donkeys that's lost. Yeah. Or he can have a dream and interpret. That has nothing to do with the word. Yeah. But yet he's a prophet, right? But a prophet messenger is equal to God. Amen. So when he speaks, that's God speaking, right? So prophet messenger is highest. Then apostles, because prophet messenger bring the message, but it still contains a supernatural element despite the revelation. That, so what the prophet brings is not doctrine. If when the prophet was bringing the message was doctrine, then Paul had no job because Jesus brought the doctrine then. No, but the Bible says Jesus didn't actually come to teach. That's why he only said things in seed form. It's Paul that brought all the doctrine. Then Timothy learned it and passed at Ephesus. Right? So, I'm going to give you a secret here. I'm going to give you a simple one. Okay. So, the prophet of God said, the Holy Ghost takes up, you know, God comes in, sets a throne in your heart, and he sits on the throne. And that's your control tower. God in you. Yes. Now the prophet said that. Right? That's not doctrine. If you take that like the way that it is said, you die.
Yes, right.
Because the same prophet said God could only be one place at one time.
Yes, right.
So this is contrary to this statement.
Yes.
So he's bringing a concept, but it's not a doctrine. Because doctrine has to reconcile how God could only be one place at one time, one body at one time. He's not like the wind, he's not like the air, he's not a myth. So actually the people who believe this statement make God a myth. Right? Because, so now you need doctrine to reconcile both statements. Because you can't take one and say, I believe it. Then what about this? It's not William Branham said this statement, and then Oral Roberts said that statement. William Branham said both. Right? These two has to be read. That's where doctrine comes in. I'll give you one more. They say, just believe it. Right? So now we have all that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the bride. You don't need to understand anything. You believe it. The prophet said it. Now watch carefully. So I take this glass. I pour it into Christ. I throw this glass away. It's empty. I take this glass, all that Christ was put in the bride. Now I can throw this away. Everything is in the bride now. Right? You could worship her. Did he not say that? But the same prophet told us, right? Every principle that he gave, he said he wouldn't say anything that's not in the Bible. The angel, he said, angel, tell me anything was not in the Bible. Now, take this now. Look at the concept. Let's take God. All that God is. Well, what God is? He is the pillar of fire seed. He is the original word. That's what he is. The original word. Which is the original logos. All that God was, he produced a seed. Now, I want to ask you, if all that the logos was, he put make it into a literal seed. Is not all that is in the seed is come from the original loin? Now, if I take this seed, all that God was, he put in a seed. This is his son. If you can't separate them because they have the same qualities. One is invisible, one is visible. Plant the seed and it comes up into a number of fruits. Now, isn't the same life that is in that seed that went down? The same life reproduced in the fruit? But it is not this. To preach that is sin and to believe it that way is sin. Because that's not doctrine. You can't make doctrine on a quote. Doctrine is here a little, there a little. You see, word here, precept here, precept, and it's scattered all over. Right? So why it is scattered all over? Because then there's another gift that must come after the prophet, called teachers or apostles, and then they pull the doctrines. But in the first generation, the pastor was everything. He was apostle, he was teacher, he was doctor. He bring doctrine. And therefore, if the pastor doesn't have the ability to teach or to go on, the people just stay right here. Because he's actually denying the program of God. You see? So no, what makes the different ministries is the different ranks of angels that is gifted to empower the men. And that's what we call anointing. That's why Prophet said, I waited for the angels.
Yeah.
So now, watch. Say, prove it to me. Brother Abraham said, unveiling of God, I believe it was. He said, Moses was on the mountain receiving information from that angel.
Yeah. Right.
Then the prophet said, I must behave how that angel said to behave.
Yeah.
Right? So where was he getting his enlightenment from? His gene? He was born again. And what's the gene doing on things?
Yeah.
It was the angel that was with him. And each minister has an angel. If you are not born again, and if you're not seed, then you don't have an angel that didn't fall. You have an angel that did fall. Right? And that is how that works.
You mentioned about the apostles. Now, there's a general talk, you know, across the world, Christian world, that we had apostles in the Bible. We had Jesus come along. Is there a reason for the church now to have apostles? Or did it cease with Paul? Did it cease at the time of the Bible? Because now we have Brother Branham, And the concept or the idea in the message community, we have the books, we have the tapes. I can listen to the brother because he makes that statement that the word is the highest order. So you have a prophet messenger. Is there any need for an apostolic? Because we hear so much of pastors. The pastor is the one that will feed the flock. The pastor is the one that will see you through. The pastor is the one that is given accountability to you, to God, for your soul. In this age, what role will an apostle play? Is there need for an apostle? Is the church following the man? Or because that's a concept that we find when we're on the field, people ask us these questions.
Okay, good question. All right. So just to answer you, in black and white statement, the prophet said, the apostolic age never did cease. But what happened is when the church fell, it's supposed to have, the church actually supposed to have started off into a new era called the Melchizedek era, or the king and priest era. But on the day of Pentecost, the children were young. And they were now born. The church was now in an infant stage. It was the baby church. Pentecost is actually the baby church. Most people want to go back to Pentecost because the prophet taught that. But when he taught that, he was under starlight. When he moved into Malachi 4, when the seals were opened, he began to see his error. And then he began to say, no. We're not going back to Pentecost. You see? He said, Pentecost is a repeat of that Pentecost. Right? He said, but we are not going back there because the day of Pentecost church was the baby church. It now started. They didn't really know anything. So the most mature church was, who has a pen? The most mature church was Ephesus. Not Ephesus the church age, but Ephesus the church itself. Oh, I got it. So after the seals were opened, the prophet says, he said, we are not going back to Pentecost, we're going back to another Ephesians. Not age, but the Ephesian church that Paul had, the most mature church that there was. Right? So this Ephesian church, when it fell, it was still moonlight. When it fell, he couldn't trust the church to guide the people. Now he had to send stars. So he went from moon being the light of the world to stars being the light guiding the world, right? So, Brother Brandon, this age here was supposed to prepare them for Melchizedek order. Right? So now, here's what the problem is. If you are restored back from here to here, that's the moon comes back. That's Malachi for restoring the faith back to the apostolic fathers. This is what that does. Was there an apostolic age here? It was there apostolic faith here. How did this church start? This age start? How did this start? So this age started with Jesus, the Son of Man. And then apostles came and taught what he taught. They started churches. Right? Now, if you have the Son of Man come back, what are you supposed to have after the Son of Man leaves? After William Branham leaves? Apostolic age. But this did not happen. And the reason it did not happen was because Brother Branham did not know this until 63. Taking sides with Jesus. He said, in taking sides with Jesus, he said, I began to study how the early church started and how the message went out. Notice that? He is now thinking, how is this message going to go out? Then he said, you know what? He said, we've got to train up young men. And then he started to talk about that guy from Sweden, Brother Chris. He said every time he tried to talk with him and catch him in a corner, he would slip by. Right? He said, but one thing, he had the pattern. He said what they did, they got the elders and they started teaching young men. And then they started sending them out. And he said he began to look at the pattern of Christ and said, that is what we need to do. Right? So to answer the question is, you have Malachi restored the heart of the children back to the apostolic fathers. Well, can the faith go back without the apostolic being there? So you have five folds in the ministry. Take one out. How much folds do you have? So what happened to America? The people in Pentecost and denomination brought in their ideas of an apostle and start calling him missionary. Brother, he said, I don't know where they got that word from. But it actually came from the Greek definition, mission. A man sent with a mission, right? But actually they are called apostles. That's biblical, right? Not missionary. You see, so let's look at the early church. How did the early church start? Were they apostles? There was no fivefold until Ephesians 4. Ephesians didn't start until AD 52. Right? So Paul did not lay down these fivefold. And when he laid this down, there was hardly any pastors. Right? So what did Paul do? Paul traveled to different places and he would go to and meet somebody like you. He will talk to that person, introduce the message to him. Then that believer will call his family, his friends around. Then Paul will start talking with him and teach him as much as he can before he leaves. Then he will remain in correspondence with that person. Then that person will gather a couple. Paul will come back and he said, you know what? There's a number of people here. Let's appoint an elder, not a pastor, an elder, somebody who will watch over the flock until gifts comes, qualified gifts. And then Paul would set that up, and that's how a little group started, in a home or a catacomb or wherever, according to the persecution of what was happening in that day. Now take our day. The prophet came, the message was brought. You're in denomination, let's say you're in Pentecost. You get a book and tape. Oh, Eve didn't eat an apple. Yeah. And the serpent was up. You got excited. Yeah. Then you hear about water baptism, not in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but in the name. And something happened to you, right? So you say, oh my goodness, I'm going to tell my pastor. You tell him, he say, trouble now. Yeah. Right? He gets upset. He said, no, you can't bring that here, you know. Right? So they either kick you out or you'll have to leave. When you leave, before you leave, you tell everybody. Two or three come out with you, right? Now, where's these people? Where did they go? Oh, they left the church. So on, so. Call you up. Brother Hein, I heard you're not coming to church anymore. What's going on? You say, brother, you have to hear what's going on. Come. You see, you invite. So now you have 10 people come in and say, I believe in this prophet. This must be a prophet. And this is, man, this is our supernatural revelation at that time. That the serpent was an upright being. Yeah. Even though Scofield wrote that. Scofield wrote that so many years ago, right? But it was the season, it was the time, it was the anointing. So 10 people come together. Now this is how your church started. They looked around. In our day, they said, you have a college degree, you be pastor. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? All of us is working. You're not working. You be pastor. Mm-hmm. That is how first generation became pastors. That is why the old generation know nothing about the word. Because actually, many of them were not called. And then the people got used to a man taking a book, reading a quote and making comment. That's not doctrine. Yeah. Right? And so now, the standard of the message was so low that all you need to do to be a preacher was to have a number of quote lineup. And then you read those quotes to the people, and that was good for a while. Because the people didn't have the books. Yeah. So they were like superstars. Yeah. But when everybody today have the book, and you take a quote and you read in it, they have their computers. There is no amazement anymore. These men were not so. So now the quality of ministry was so low that somebody in their laity watching a pastor do that. He said, well, there's nothing to that. I could do that. Yeah. And I could be more eloquent than him. Right? And so the lowest of low, just like the Nicolaitan system, the lowest of low now begin to rise, challenge him, since he's not really well versed, yeah. Take the church, flip it. Now he's unconverted.
Yeah.
Right? And he goes start another church. And that is how first generation started, and that's how churches go. You be pastor. Nobody is there to ordain them. Nobody is there to lay hands on them. And nobody is there to ask them, are you born again?
Yeah.
See? So spiritual wickedness began to flourish in the first generation message churches.
Yeah.
Because spiritual wickedness dwell in high places.
Yeah.
And the high places is the pulpit. And they're questioning your birth and your birth and your birth and your birth. But nobody questioned their birth.
Yeah.
Now what's the prophet quote? Life comes through the body.
Right.
If you can't tell me the man you got the Holy Ghost from, you are not born past the prophet's spoken word original seed. Because you can't get it from the books and tapes, because faith comes by hearing, not by reading.
Yeah.
Right? So the prophet said, what about Peter? He had to go to Cornelius' house for Cornelius to get it. What about Paul? He met the pillar of fire and didn't get the Holy Ghost. He had to go to Ananias to lay hands. Look at Ethiopian eunuch. He's giving all these examples. Everybody is connected to one man. If the pastor doesn't have that, the whole congregation, they are just message believers because they believe. And they believe, just like the Baptist, we believe therefore we are born again. Or we believe because we live what the message says. That's Methodist. Or we believe because I pray for somebody and I have dreams and, you know, therefore that Pentecost. Then the next class in the message is the science, Christian science. Okay, look at you, you know all these doctrine. Look at you, you're so smart and educated, but you can't love your enemy. No, we love everybody. We love the devil too. Because we are, so therefore we are born again in the message. So the four classes of denomination enter the ministry of the message because Baptists say, when I believe, I have the Holy Ghost. Methodists say, look how I live, kick all the TV, therefore I have the Holy Ghost. The next one say, look, I have gifts and I pray for people. Just like the prophet said, these signs shall follow them that believe, right? Therefore, I am born again. And the Christian signs say, look, all you know, all of those things, but all you don't even love all your enemies. You don't talk to this one, you don't talk to that one, this one. So denomination infiltrated the message and the people are happy that they believe. But believing is not the evidence of a son, it's understanding. You tell, otherwise you say God is revealing his own word. You tell me about the doctrine you say you believe and we'll tell you where you are. So let's go now. So these first generation pastors now. Brother Branham says, quote, he said, by the time the second generation started, the message already corrupted. So watch carefully. My generation did not preach 1963 was the coming of the Lord. Right? Because if 63 come and we're still here, it's only three come and die for his bride, come for his bride, come with his bride. They say he came. We're still here. We missed it. And they missed it too. Then quote again. He said, Jesus cannot come until the last one comes in. Right? We still have missionary work going on. Look at all over the world. So that means the last one didn't come in. So how can he have come? And I say to you, anybody who preached you was a coming of the Lord, you should tell them, I don't need to pay tithing. So when the Lord comes, I have title deed. I don't pay on what I own. You see how quick they're going to change their doctrine. You know, some of them preach 63. They have different extremes of 63. They have the one who is conservative. Oh, we believe the Lord come in 63. Then the next one says, oh, we believe the Lord come in 63. Therefore, no communion, no foot washing. Then the next one says, you see, there's escalation of what you believe in 63. Right? I say to all of them, if the Lord come in 63, let those people not pay their tithing and see what happens. See, so the most of them of the first generation ministers are not born again. They can't explain really nothing. If you ask them about a subject, they go to the computer, print a list of what that prophet said and say, hey, brother, that is it. That's not doctrine. See? So if you go back to the early church did not start the way we started. The early church started with apostles bringing out the doctrine of Jesus' message. And apostles will bring out the doctrine of William Branham's message. Those doctrine now is what the fivefold needs. That the pastors need these. So that they can. And that is what Paul did. Now, so you hear until 1964, you hear Brother Branham says, over 5,000 times we must go back to Pentecost. We must go back where we left him. We must go back to the upper room. All of a sudden he says, this is not a return to Pentecost. He said, we are not good. He never apologized. He said, we don't go back to Pentecost. He said, Pentecost represented that. He said, but we're going back to another Ephesians. Now, how did the Ephesians start? I'm going to use you all for a pattern. Okay, so you all believe you were born again? You all believe, you believe every word the prophet said because you read the book and it's here. Right? So now you come. Then all of a sudden, Brother Angus got a hold of some tapes I did at Beckett. Right? Then all of a sudden now, I think you got more than one set, right? Something like that. Or you were looking for something. Then he started listening on the internet, right? So I'm saying to myself, here this guy, I don't know who he is. He's following us along the way. I have to come and check him, right? Because I don't want to answer for his soul. Right? Anytime you take tithing from believers, it's a contract. This is the contract. The contract says that if I take your tithing, it means no matter how far you fall, it don't matter what you get yourself into, I can't quit. I will be there to the end. If anybody is going to quit, it's you. But I will not leave you nor forsake you. It's a commitment. Once you take that person tithing, you are committed to them in the good, in the bad, and the ugly. Right? Therefore, when you give your tithing, you are also making a statement. You are saying, Pastor, you are my pastor. You will feed me, you will lead me, you will instruct me. You can't give your tithing and then let him pastor you when you want, and then you pastor yourself when you want. Because he have to answer for you. I always say, I'm not going to answer for 60% of you while the 40% of you lead yourself somewhere else. I'm going to answer for all of you or none of you. Don't give me a tithing. If you can't, if you don't believe this can take you in a rapture, I don't want it. Right? So you are making a verbal contract also. Right? When the prophet preached souls in prison, I'll ask the question, who did he go and visit? He said the angels that kept not their estate, right? And were sometimes disobedient as it was in the days of Noah, and were now reserved in chains of darkness. The prophet said that was not angel demons, because they are not in chains. He said they were what? Preachers. Notice he didn't go to the believers to condemn them. All he had to do was condemn the pastor, and that was the souls in prison. Everyone under them. So this is what happened to the Ephesians. So then I came. You all told me the issue. We tried to get a meeting with Brother Smith. He said, no. He said he never visited you all to reconcile. Then he was supposed to, I think John was the deacon. I think that's what John was a deacon at that time. So then there was no reconciling, right? You all had to go to him. He didn't have to come to you all. Then you all decided not to. That is how that worked. Because my job is to reconcile you all to the church. Right? Right? But since you all were troublemakers, you all... That is how that thing started. Now, when you started hearing the doctrine, was it anything that you taught? So then there are two gospels. There's a closed book gospel, there's an open book gospel. and they don't know which is their message. They believe the whole thing is their message. No, the seventh seal, seventh thunder is the bride message. Everything before that is preparation. So that's why the prophet said certain things that you can't bring into the message, even though it's coming from the same man. But that was starlight anointing, that was moonlight. So then your church started an Ephesian way, because Paul wasn't, through the course of Ephesus, went to a church who already believed in Elijah. They already knew who Elijah was. They already know the promises of John the Baptist. But yet they weren't born again, because the message of Elijah is not the message of the Son of Man. Elijah was to prepare you for the Son of Man. They were all prepared and never entered into the Son of Man. So when Paul came and he introduced death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they were quickened. And that is how the Ephesian church started apostolically. Then he set up elders. Timothy became one there. And Paul now is writing to Timothy, who is the pastor there now, and instructing him what to do and how to listen, 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 listen. But Timothy was acting as the appointed pastor there. And that is exactly how Ephesians part. And say, if you see going back to another Ephesians, you have to take the whole thing. Okay, let's go.